Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
A sumptuous banquet of old times.
Ooh. What antiques are we sampling today?
We are actually going to be talking about a grim little favorite of mine, the Toby Jug.
Oh, we're finally doing Toby Jugs?
We're finally doing Toby Jugs.
Excellent. Tell me about Toby's Jugs.
First, I would like to do a shout out to the inspiration of this particular episode.
Toby?
Mr. Toby himself! Step right on up, Toby, and collect your prize. It's me not buying anything of yours.
Aww, it's so rude to Toby. He works so hard on these jugs.
I don't want to collect Toby jugs.
So right out the gate, we're an anti-Toby jug podcast? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm pro-Toby jug. I just don't want to own any.
Okay, fair.
You know?
I mean, I'm very happy with my Toby jug.
I was a little about to say, I believe I gave you a Toby jug for a birthday long ago.
You did. It's beautiful. I treasure it to this day.
It is the Captain Ahab with the whale handle.
It is. It's so good. It's so good.
Well, I'm touched that you still like it.
Yeah.
So shout out to Antiques Freak friend Leah for suggesting this topic by posting the worst example they could find in our Antiques Freaks friends group. Specifically, they posted a picture of the Royal Dalton John Barleycorn character jug. If you want to take a quick Google and see how delightful that is to look at.
John Barleycorn. It's no Johnny Cake Hill, but it's close.
One thing that's very much wrapped up into the, I'm going to say, folk mythology of the Toby jug is like a lot of British characters. And it turns out John Barleycorn is kind of like a cutesy character meant to represent brewers in general.
Oh.
So you would see art like that would depict the platonic brewer, and he, you know, you would call that character kind of like having a John video games.
Ah.
Yeah, that's the example I'm going to stick with.
Video James, our old friend.
So yeah, John Barleycorn is just like a symbolization of all of the brewers. So Toby jugs, they sure are something. A Toby jug is a pottery jug or mug in the form of a seated person or the disembodied head of a person, either a recognizable person, a celebrity, or a vague character. So like Toby jug gets used as sort of like a catch-all, kind of like Kleenex for all napkins kind of thing. There is the Toby jug, which is specifically a figural jug depicting a character's entire body, usually seated.
Oh, full body Toby jug.
A full body Toby jug, much like the full bodied apparition. The Toby mug, which is a Toby jug that doesn't have a spout. And a character mug and character jug. If it only displays a character's head, face, and sometimes shoulders, it must be referred to as a character jug or mug, and for jug or mug, the previous determinations apply where if it has a spout, it's a jug. If it doesn't have a spout, it's a mug.
So what I have is a character jug of Captain Ahab.
Correct.
Excellent.
The quintessential original Toby jug, which I'm going to put quotes around, showed a seated man sporting a tricorn hat, puffing on a pipe and holding a mug of ale. In some variations, the tricorn hat was actually a removable little cup, as well as a lid. I believe this is referred to as the ordinary Toby, which is that sitting man, and usually he's pretty chubby and wrinkly. I use the phrase like mythological. That was on purpose. Nobody really knows where they came from.
Oh no. Oh god.
So obviously a figural vessel goes back into prehistory, but this specific chubby, happy British little guy, who knows? It was somewhere in the 1750s, maybe. Definitely somewhere in between the 1750s and the 1780s. Pretty much any potter active at the time has been credited as the inventor of the original Toby. John Astbury, Ralph Wood, Aaron Wood, any of their successors. I think the Woods had like two more in terms of like famous potters. Although, notably, Toby Jug Museum, the American Toby Jug Museum, favors Astbury or Wealdon as the Toby's creator. They don't say why, but that is what they believe. They've done more research, so I believe them.
They believe in their beliefs as much as we believe in our beliefs?
Haunting but true, Ken. The Toby Jug's also occasionally, especially the early ones, referred to as a Toby Philpot. More on that later. And originally, they were either a plain brown salt glaze or a plain kind of cream glaze. They didn't have a lot of coloring for now. After Royal Dalton picked up the manufacture of their own various Toby jugs, in the 1920s, potter Harry and Simeon added bright, bright colors.
Right on.
In 1934, Charles Noak of Royal Dalton introduced the first modern character jug, John Barleycorn.
Again with this guy.
He turns up a lot. He's a very popular character in British folklore. Is it folklore?
Sure.
From there, they would add other characters such as Old Charlie, Night Watchman, Sairy Gamp, and you might recognize this one, Ken, Martin Chuzzlewit.
Martin Chuzzlewit of Charles Dickens' infamous novel, Martin Chuzzlewit? The very Chuzzlewit?
The very Chuzzlewit.
Incroyable.
Actually, Dickens characters pop up a lot. Something about the way Dickens makes his characters means that they look really good as fat old men on mugs.
I mean, you know, if the shoe fits.
Moving into the 1940s, the jugs started to have extremely whimsical and decorative applied handles, usually thematically appropriate to the figure, such as, oh, I don't know, Captain Ahab with a giant whale for a handle?
Yes.
Or, like, a magical tower for a storybook princess or a crocodile for Captain Hook.
Uh-huh.
Royal Dalton, after merging at least 45 million times with a bunch of other producers, I believe the company is now called the Waterford Wedgwood Dalton Group.
The what?
The Waterford Wedgwood Dalton Group.
Wow. That's a lot.
Capitalism is a bitch. The company's last produced character jug was 2011's Jug of the Year, Barack Obama.
Wow.
Today, only three companies still manufacture Toby jugs. That's right, it's still going. They were produced by way more people, over 200 different makers, including Royal Dalton, Lancaster Sandland, Royal Worcester, Wedgwood, France. I'm not going to say any of those.
Just the entirety of France. Everyone's really pulling together to make these Toby jugs happen.
You know, if you can figure out how to say Sarreguemines without pissing off the French, then, like, you're welcome to take a shot, but I'm not gonna...
There's no way to say anything in French without pissing off the French. It's their default state.
Nimi les moines! And other German companies such as Royal Bayreuth and Gubel. Now, another enduring mystery as to the origins of the notorious Toby jug is why it's called Toby.
Well, it's because Toby started it.
Actually, no, Toby didn't start it. No, there are no Tobys in the list of people who possibly created the first Toby jug.
Because the lists are incomplete, they have yet to find him.
Oh my god, he's a secret.
And when they do, they will know the true origin of the Toby jug. Mr. Tobias Jug himself.
Tobias Jug. So, an unpopular opinion is that it might be Sir Toby Belch. Shakespeare character from Twelfth Night. Sir Toby Belch, as his name might suggest, is a jovial drinker, which does kind of go along with the image that we've conjured of the original Toby jug. But most people favor a reference to a, quote, notorious 18th century Yorkshire drinker, end quote.
In the 18th century in Yorkshire, how much do you have to fucking drink to become the notorious drinker?
That is my next note.
What?
Was, holy shit, how does one become the named notorious Yorkshire drinker?
Listen. There is a lot of gin around back then, is all I'm saying. Like, just kind of flowing through the streets. How the heck?
This gentleman is popularly named as Henry Elwes or Toby Philpot.
Huh.
Like a lot of things of this nature, it's uncertain if this was ever a real person. It's likely that there was a Henry Elwes, and it's very likely he was fat and drank a lot.
I mean, just statistically.
Yeah. What really settles it for me is the famous English drinking song, The Brown Jug. There's one part of the song in particular I'd like to relay to you. His body when long in the ground it had lain, and time into clay had resolved it again. A potter found out in its covert so snug, and with part of fat Toby he formed this brown jug. Now sacred to friendship and mirth and mild ale, so here's to my lovely sweet Nan of the Vale.
That's incredible. Wait, so like, it's a folk song about one time this guy died and got made into a jug?
Yes. It was everyone's favorite happy fat drink man died, and a local potter scooped up the mud where his flesh had rotted and made a little jug kind of shaped like him that they all drank from and remembered him.
Amazing. What a way to go.
So the most important thing you need to know about Toby Jugs is that they are dark necromancy.
Yay! Necromancy!
If that's not ritual necromancy, I don't know what is.
Oh god, is he a lich? Is that his phylactery?
So that's the thing, right? Like, nobody knows what the which one is the original one.
Oh god.
Which one is the first one, Ken?
Oh no.
It probably has a soul in it.
We gotta find the real Toby.
Have you ever seen a fat, jovial British man drinking at a pub? His name is Toby. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's a lich, but I'm not saying he's not a lich is what I'm not saying. Eventually, Royal Dalton's gonna get its own episode. We would be here for like several hours if I tried to cover everything to do with Royal Dalton's involvement in the Toby Jug, but it is really important because I would say that the Toby Jug is synonymous with Royal Dalton. More specifically, the character Jug, those were made later. There are more examples of them, and it's probably what people are really familiar with. Even the post suggesting this topic to us was one, so there you are. That being said, while an early Toby Jug that is not from Royal Dalton can be extremely valuable, although there are hundreds of thousands, a lot of the Dalton ones are kind of where people focus their collections. If you hadn't noticed that I'd said that there was a Royal Dalton jug of President Obama, and you know that there's like a lot, because they didn't stop making them for a very long time.
It would be kind of crazy if they'd made a President Obama Toby jug in like the 18th century, just this one prescient potter.
Just sculpting a man and going, someday. Like, someday America's gonna have this president. And he's, like, doing this before America's had a president.
Before America's existed, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that hasn't happened yet, but there's just, like, a little pot of Barack Obama's face.
Consider it, won't you? Thank you.
Lots of people made the Toby jugs, so a lot of identifying them is going to come down to, like, what is marked on it?
By Toby himself, the man, signed Toby.
Yeah, does it say Toby Jug? In which case, you found the phylactery and you need to destroy it immediately. There are some pretty reliable ways to date specifically Royal Dalton.
Step one, bring flowers.
Yes, absolutely cannot overstate that. Royal Dalton is very old-fashioned. Anything made before 1960 has the dark glaze from its painted parts bleeding over the rim and into the white glazed interior. Anything pre-1930s has a capital A to the left of the Lion and Crown Royal Dalton Made in England stamp. After the 1950s, they printed the mark in dark green without the A. If this is, like, weird or boring to you, then, like, don't collect pottery because this is it. Like, I'm so sorry, but, like... I'm reading out, like, some of these, because, like, I do think that they're helpful and useful, and then I'm just like, this sounds so fucking stupid, and then it's like, yeah, if you're not into it, then, like, don't collect pottery. It always breaks down to this.
We have a solution for your problem.
Yeah, modern business organization didn't exist for a really long time, so dating things is just trying to figure out which asinine dumb bullshit they were doing in any particular 5-year period.
It's like a little mystery you get to solve.
And I think that's what motivates a lot of people, like, God bless them that they're doing this, because we all get to know this because they are going into these, like, archives and reading about it. It's insane to me. So show some respect. I'm gonna read some more. Dalton jugs in the 1930s show the name of the character in quotation marks. After the 1950s, the letter D precedes the name of the character without quotes with the copyright date underneath. Jugs marked with an A are actually less valuable, because there are just way, 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 way more of them. Other things to look at are the sizes, exceptionally small and exceptionally large ones. Kind of like Ken's Captain Ahab, which I would say is planter-sized, although I do not believe that's actually a Royal Dalton.
Alas. But it does contain a plant.
And it is extremely cool.
Yes.
For specifics, you can also look at variations. For example, we have John Barleycorn. Is he ever going to stop showing up? Fuck no.
He is eternal, hence the phylactery.
The first iteration of the John Barleycorn character jug, the plain handle disappeared inside the jug at the top. Later handles were attached strictly to the outside. So, you know, if you've got a John Barleycorn, you see that in the handle. I am actually looking at the picture posted by On Antiques Freaks Friends, and it is an earlier one because it is going inside.
Ooh.
I'm already using this information. It's not boring.
I never said it was boring!
I know. I'm yelling at an imaginary audience. I really liked this hint because it seems so esoteric. To quickly identify a Royal Dalton older piece, glance at the curved lines that look like vertical curved equal lines on each side of the circle on the logo. Long marks usually mean an older piece, while short marks indicate a more recent issue. Thank you to memomind.com for that extremely strange quick tip. I'm going to try it in the wild, see if it works.
See if it can help you tame the Toby jug.
Tame the Toby. What surprises a lot of people is that Tobies are still unilaterally, like, pretty valuable. When you're looking at pretty much anything pre-1970s, the price is already shooting right up to the hundreds when you're getting started.
Oh.
Yeah, 70s and onward, I don't want to say that they're not valuable, but they are collectible in, like, a modern way, but that's a very small, like, section of people who specifically collect modern Royal Dalton character jugs. So, you know, I focus on 70s and before. And like I said, yeah, you kind of, from Jump Street, start in the low hundreds and creep up there depending on, like, rarity, condition. And generally, is it weird? Sometimes they released, like, these sets that would go alongside the jugs and the mugs. Like, I saw a Falstaff lighter.
Heck yeah.
Falstaff, this might surprise you, it's for the jugs that are specifically about fat drunk guys, Falstaff turns up a lot.
Shocker.
They're interesting things that you could be looking at are, some of them are musical. Musical ones already, like, get an immediate, like, $100 value bump. And some of them have really interesting histories that have affected their price pretty significantly. I found a really interesting story about the clown range of jugs that they did in the 1930s, when clowns were still cool. And they started making them with red hair and brightly colored handles. But the quickly encroaching war affected their ability to obtain materials, and the hair was changed to brown. And then in 1955, the hair was changed to white. Red-haired clown is about $5,000.
What?
Yeah, a brown-haired clown would kind of come in at about $3,000 to $3,500. White ones, yeah, you can go on from there. If you can find the single one that has a black-haired clown that was commissioned by a very rich family for their granddad who was a black-haired clown, I believe the last time it hit auction was $12,000.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So the musical movements I've seen personally kind of hovering the 200 to 300s, depending on the model. And another fun thing to look for, I really like this story, one of the rare, like, after 1970s ones that has, like, a general appeal. Clark Gable, produced in the 1980s.
What?
Yeah, it was Clark Gable. It was made in 1984. They made 2,000. Royal Dalton exported them to America. And his estate said, "We do not approve this. Put it back." So Royal Dalton tried to recall and destroy all existing Clark Gable character jugs because his estate said, God no why. So if you find any of those remnants, they hover around $3,000.
Oh my god. If you have an illegal Clark Gable Toby jug.
Highly illegal Clark Gable Toby jug that for some reason they sold before getting it approved.
Whoops.
There was one Winston Churchill that was contemporary to Churchill himself. It was a loving cup character mug. Had two, you know, handles on either sides. And they sold it for half a year before Winston asked them to stop. Because he thought it was extremely insulting.
They keep doing this.
That one, I believe, hovers at around $700 if you can find it. Because I guess Royal Dalton cared slightly less about how he felt. Earlier, by companies that weren't Dalton, if it was a character, and by character I mean like a real person, they were almost unilaterally insulting, because they have a caricature-like quality that is not entirely flattering. Dalton cleaned that up, and they just ran into issues a lot when they were trying to make characters. There is a prototype Fidel Castro for sale. And you can just go ahead and take a fun little guess as to why that didn't do so hot.
Shocker.
One of the rarest is the Martha Gunn. She was made at some point by most of the, like, the major English potteries at the time. Turns out she is, like, a famous, like, British character. She was a real lady who bathed the Prince Regent in the 18th century.
Huh.
She would, like, stand in the ocean and wash people.
I guess there wasn't much going on.
When you start diving into Toby's, you realize that there is a lot about England you just don't understand.
And I think that's beautiful.
Other rare examples not specific to Dalton would be the Hearty Goodfellow. He is rare and unusual because he is a full-bodied Toby jug that is not sitting. And apparently is also probably a mugger. You also have the snuff taker, a man who looks just a little too excited to be doing snuff. He is also standing instead of sitting, which is unusual for a Toby. In general, any depiction of women from before Royal Dalton's introduction of characters is pretty valuable, pretty rare.
So any depiction of women before the invention of women.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know that women weren't, like, there. Right? Like, who's seen a woman? Not one. That is my delve into Toby jugs for you. Why are they ugly? Because they're from Britain. The end.
Whoa, my friend. I'm kidding. Oh my god.
That's not entirely a joke. They borrowed from British humorous artwork and like folk art that has that distinct style. Because for humorous reasons, you would exaggerate these features on people. So that is kind of the answer. Sorry, Britain. Sources today include Britannica.com, The Wood Family, acsilver.co.uk, What is a Toby Jug? antiquesqa.blogspot.com, Raise Jug, TobyJugMuseum.com, thank you so much, WorldCollectorsNet.com, Toby Jugs and Character Jugs, HomeThingsPast.com, Toby Jugs, TobyJugCollecting.com in its entirety, and ThePrudentCollector.com, Royal Dalton Toby Character Jugs. If you want to read more extreme minutia, may I recommend issuu.com, Francis Joseph Toby. It is a digitized version of a book of known Toby models and their prices circa 2007. Maybe not the most up-to-date in terms of numbers, but a really interesting jumping point. AntiqueTobyJugs.com, there it is. And antiqueprices.com, Royal Dalton Toby Character Jugs Price Value Guide. Really a nice exhaustive list of prices and what gives them those prices.
Nice. If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or check out our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, or tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you're mad at the number of horrible things I said about the British, feel free to leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. Any kind of review, even the kind where you say that I'm mean, is a huge help to us and gets our voice into many other people's ears to spread our anti-British rhetoric.
We just got a delightful review from Lana Elise. Ken and Dee have so much chemistry. I love learning about a wide range of antiques. The show has educated me in areas I wouldn't normally be interested in. The lighthearted banter and easygoing nature of this show is miles apart from the normally stuffy antiques-related shows. These guys definitely got me through 2020. I also love the evolution of their show. This is the only show that I religiously listen to. Can't wait to hear more.
Oh my god. What? Thank you.
And I do like the reference to our show's evolution. It makes me feel like a Digimon.
Yeah, right?
And or X-Men Evolution, which I think we can all agree is the best X-Men.
It is the best X-Men, yes.
It's the only one that contains the full performance of Dracula the Musical, and I think that's beautiful, frankly.
It's the only one that is brave enough to admit that Dracula the Musical happened.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes or check out our bonus episode podcast where we read chapter by chapter the Penny Dreadful Varney the Vampire, we're up to chapter 22 now, and so far it's been a roller coaster.
It's really wild.
You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love. And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.